This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word. All right, last week we carried on with our lesson on Where Are You Going? And we've really gotten to the point in the lesson now where we are well above the established foundation of what we're really talking about. We've been going backwards from the idea, the principle of the path, and that is that our direction determines our destination. And we talked about that quite a bit. We talked then about our direction, our habits, how, you know, what we do every day, what we do with our time, our actions, and how that really establishes where we will end up, regardless of where we want to end up. And so we talked about that that direction. And then above that are the decisions that affect, you know, where we choose which actions we're going to have and what we're going to do, and the things that would result in our habits over time. And so after we got finished with that last week, we picked up with the influence, the factor that affects our decisions, and that's our thoughts. And so that just moves up that chain, that workflow. I don't know what you want to call it. And then the final place that we will begin talking about today are those things that influence our thoughts. Last week we talked about Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that is Paul's instruction for us to know what's okay to think about, what's not okay to think about, the eight filters that he gives us. We talked about that last week, and I had actually forgotten that I had in the past done a lesson. This was in 2004, so many of you weren't here for that. But I did a lesson and actually had a thingy. I updated it, printed it, and then printed it out so that you guys could have copies of this. So there you guys go, and here you go. And while we're thinking about this, I wanted to ask, are there any things that this week you came across? Basically, the question is, was the lesson from last week practical? Was it practical? I will tell you that for me it was. This week, I kind of had the opportunity to renew my intentional use of this filter. Good morning, Rose. This filter in my life, in my mind, to make sure that I was thinking about things that I should be thinking about and not thinking about the things that I shouldn't be thinking about. Excuse me. And so I wanted to ask you guys, any practical application from the lesson last week? Anyone? Morning. Especially at the onset. I remember from the very first time when I realized the practical use of that verse and began using that filter in my own mind. It initially was incredibly difficult to intentionally think, okay, every time a new thought comes my way, whoa, hold on, does it make it through the eight things there in Philippians 4:8? But the good news is that it became so automatic that I didn't even think about it anymore. It became completely subconscious that every time it would, nope, bing, you're gone. And so your comment is fantastic, because that means that you tried. that's actually a really good thing, because it means, yeah, you were doing it, and yes, it is hard at first. And you'll notice that on this lesson, we're not going to go through it and do it, But you will have the opportunity, which I'm sure you'll take advantage of, to look at each of those eight filters and try to describe some things that fit, that make it through that filter, and then some other things that you can think of that, and it's not going to be the generic answers, I hope, but in fact, the specific answers that you face in your life, thoughts that you have that may not, like I said last week, for me, the fourth filter was always the one that really cut down on the things that I had to do with my mind, because for me, the challenge of having a pure mind, thinking clean thoughts, not allowing thoughts that aren't pure into my mind, that was always something, and it has been. It's, you know, each of us have our own thing. That has been the thing that for me has always been, okay, and so for me, you know, what things fit in that category, what things don't. And the great thing, you know, being married kind of changes some of the things that you can allow yourself to think about, because I can think some things about Trina that I can't think about anybody else, right? And so just real honestly, for each of us in our place, there are some things that fit, that make it through those filters. There's some things that don't. So I would encourage you to take advantage of this. And and why would you do that? Well, I think that the reason that it might be helpful, not just as an exercise, because most of us aren't really into doing schoolwork anymore, so you know, it's not that all of us are just looking for some sort of homework to do, but the reason why I think it would make a difference is because that would allow you to preload your mind, that decision process, that you have already thought about it. You've already thought about, well, you know what, I oftentimes have, I'm tempted to worry. And if that's the case, well, I've gone through here and wow, it didn't even make it past the first one, because what we worry about isn't true. There's a chance, small probably, that in the future it might become true. But right now, it's just not the truth. So it doesn't even make it. And so if you have a problem with worry, then you could sit down with this thing and you could think, well, gosh, worry doesn't fit in here. My concern about our finances doesn't fit in here. Now, my decisions to take action, yeah, that fits. But my, you know, and so you can see how that having already thought through these things that fit through the filter in your life that you face, things that don't fit through those filters in your life, will help you already have a decision about whether to let that thought stay. Because remember from last week, it's not a sin to be tempted to think something. It's not a sin to be tempted to worry. It's not a sin to be tempted to lust. It becomes sin when you let it stay, when you think, okay, I'm going to give that time, I'm going to give that thought, I'm going to let it in. That's when it becomes sin. And so for us to already have a decision set up, made, determined, will be great. And then if you really want to get bonus points on this homework exercise, then what you can do is on the ones that don't fit, you can find scripture verses that go along with it. That, well, why doesn't it fit? Well, because Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, etc. Or later on, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So you can see at the bottom, pardon me, the lesson that I did back in 2004 actually included the passage all the way from verse 6 to verse 19. And I put down at the bottom, just as a helpful starting point, some things that people may have difficulty with, and some verses that you can memorize. Because the perfect thing to do, you know, if the world were a perfect place and you were controlling your thoughts, as is really important, since thoughts are a bottleneck point that determine everything below there, that your thoughts determine your decisions determine your direction determines your destination. So keeping our thoughts under control is critical. That's why we're talking about this in this lesson about where are you going, about the principle of the path, because our thoughts are the nearly the beginning point. We're going to take one more layer up, but they are a point at which determines the rest of the outcome of your life. And so if the world were a perfect place and we were really committed to establishing our lives in a way that would result in the destination, our destination being the one that we want, if we were really trying to do that, then what we would do is every time there's a thought that comes in that shouldn't be there, like we talked about last week, you know, I tell you don't think about an elephant. Okay, I'm not going to think about an elephant. I'm not going to think about an elephant. You're thinking about an elephant, right? Well, and so instead of that, instead of that, that if that thought comes in and the filter tells you, no, you can't think about that, and so you choose not to, but if you're just thinking, okay, I'm not going to lust about her or him or whatever, I'm not going to worry about that, well, it's still there in your mind. So the great thing instead is to have scripture that you've memorized and that you can meditate on and that will completely make you forget about whatever it was that was trying to get into your mind, but instead focus you on the scripture. And so if you do that, you will be successful controlling your thoughts. And like we talked about last week, finally, if you do that, then you will thwart the plans of the enemy. You will discourage his attempts to get you to think about things that will cause you to stumble and take you away and mess up your faith and mess up your thoughts, your decisions, your direction, your destination. Does that make sense? All right. So anyway, I went off and failed to give people an opportunity to talk further about your practical application or attempt to practically apply this from last week. Any other thoughts there before we pick up with this? All right. Well, then, pardon me. As we talked about last week, early on, in fact, the first week that we were together, we kind of put this whole workflow. That's not the right thing. That's what I'd call it at work. But this whole process, this whole pathway. Let's call it a pathway to the path. I'm sorry? Flowchart, yeah, another work word, but it works. So the flow that ends up with your destination even begins above our thoughts. The things that influence our thoughts, those are the very top-level things, and we're going to start talking about those. And anyway, at the beginning week, we wrote all sorts of stuff on the board, and I'll list the stuff that we put up there. Oh, you know what? I added one this week, one for myself. Anyway, sin nature. Our sin nature influences our thoughts. Every one of us have a sin nature, and I'd say that every one of them, while all fundamentally the same, they're all tweaked in all sorts of strange and weird ways, that each one of us have our own set of proclivities, our own set of lusts, our own set of challenges that would on their own cause us to go away from God. Every one of us have our own set of those. Problem is, we can't change it. Hate to tell you this, the sin nature you've got is the one you've got. And there is nothing we can do to change it. Now, we can absolutely choose not to follow it. We can absolutely not feed it. But it is what it is. And so while it does influence our thoughts, there's nothing to talk about this morning about what we can do to change it. It's there. It is what it is. Our environment is another one. Where we grew up, our upbringing, who our parents were. Those, boy, do they influence our thoughts. My goodness. I look at myself so often and think, oh my goodness, I'm using the same words exactly that my dad would be using right now. I see him and myself so often. You know what? There's nothing I can do about that. And it's not even necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying it is. For some it would be. For some it would be great. But whatever it is, good or bad, you can't change it. And whatever it is, it does influence our thoughts. Right? Y'all agree? But we can't change it. Our upbringing, that fits into that same category. The culture kind of goes along with that environment that we grew up in. By the way, your birth order, we didn't even put that on there. Where you were in your birth order, the number, the kid number that you were, affects the way you think. It absolutely affects the way you think. So, but you can't change it. There's nothing you can do to change that. You can try to mitigate it, but you cannot change it. The other outside influences, the teachers that you had when you were in, at least in K-12 school, no choice. But some of them influenced you to the point to actually influence the thoughts you think today. But we can't change that. So we're not going to focus on that. Our experiences, good or bad, they're history, and we can't change it. And for some, and some of you may even have experienced this, for some, those experiences, there may be one experience in your life that was so incredibly monumental, good or bad. Something that happened to you, something that you experienced, could be the primary thing that influences everything you think today. There are some things in life that can be that significant in our experience. And you know what? There's nothing we can do about it. That experience is history. Once again, we can mitigate it. We in some cases, can get counseling for it. In some cases, some things are so serious that requires massive, massive efforts to minimize it so that it doesn't drive everything that you think. They're history, though. We can't change them today. Other disorders, maybe from some experiences that we've had, maybe from who knows what, but disorders that we have. And finally, prejudices. There is a difference. I'll just be really honest. Hopefully you guys won't get mad at me for this being the case. I grew up in Oklahoma and Texas. The town that I lived in when I was in the 7th grade was 100% white. There was not a single black person in the entire city. And that was true nearly for the vast majority of my life. And that upbringing gave me prejudices that I didn't even know that I had until right after Trina and I got married. And all of a sudden, I was in a circumstance where I was the only white person. And I didn't know that it mattered to me until all of a sudden, I was afraid. Very honestly, I was afraid. And that moment showed me that I had prejudices. I had no control over where I grew up or who else moved into the city where I lived. But it absolutely affected my thoughts. And so I have had to, since then, deal with it. Thankfully, it has not been an issue in a long, long time. Hopefully, like I said, hope you guys don't get mad at me about saying that, but it's just the truth. Well, yeah. You can... yeah. And so I never knew. I never knew. And so our prejudices are things that are ingrained in us. And in those things, they're there. We have to mitigate them. But they're a fact. There's something about us. And there's nothing we could do now about changing where we grew up or whatever. And I'm sure that there are many other stories in the room that would be just like that one or the opposite of that one, but still the same exact issue. So that's kind of the list of things we really don't have control over. But there are a lot of things that we absolutely have complete control over, and so that's where we're going to finish our time together. Chris, that is a great word. Thank you for saying that. Absolutely. And part of this whole lesson thing, this whole bigger picture study that we're in. Part of it has been for us. Part of it has been for us as parents. And absolutely, that's a, man, what a great point. Haven't even thought of it that way. But, you know, the things that we don't have control over from our lives in the past, we may not have complete control over that for our children, but we absolutely can influence it to the better. And so, you know, like for us, rules in the house about babysitters. You will not find a male babysitter in my household ever, ever, ever. And you will not find any of my girls being alone with any male family members ever, ever, ever. So that, as much as we can, realizing that still, there's a point where I don't have control, I can at least make it much, much less likely for my girls to ever have an experience in their past that is horribly devastating and that will influence their thoughts for the rest of their lives. I'm doing my part for that, right? What a great word, Chris. And so many other things as well. Fantastic news, you know, in our household is that my daughters will not tolerate even the slightest, possibly not 100% positive comment about any other ethnicity ever, ever. If they hear somebody say something that impugns someone's ethnic group of any kind, they go ballistic. And so I can at least say that the possibility of them developing prejudices like I had when I was a kid, just not there because of choices that we've made. Choices that we have the opportunity to make that will reverse some of the stuff. And the problem is that it's like a dike with the holes in it and stuff. You know, I know the mistakes that I made and that were made for me when I was a kid. And so I can very actively and intentionally put my fingers in those holes, but that doesn't suggest that there aren't other areas where I have totally blown it and won't know about it until it's way too late in other areas, because we all have blind spots and I'm generally stupid. So those are the things that we don't have control over from our past, but thank you, Chris, for pointing out that we absolutely can very significantly influence those same things for our children. Great word. I will add that to my notes. All right. So we've talked about the things that we don't have control over. Let's talk about the things that we do have control over. First, I'll list them, and then we'll just get started. Yeah, the introduction's nearly over with. So here we go. The things that I listed for things that we do have very complete control over, nearly 100%, are friends, music, books, TV, movies, that kind of stuff, what we watch, in other words. Oh, you know what? Internet needs to be on here somewhere, too. Crud, yes. Yes. All right, so I'll add that. The Bible, reading it, right? Not changing it, but reading it. Sermons. Worship, memorization, and meditation. That's the one that I added that we hadn't talked about in the past. But that's a biggie for us as well, and I'll add in there the internet. And so let's begin talking about the ones that we can control, and we will begin. You know, somebody foolishly last week said that there was a chance we'd finish this lesson series today. Yeah, can you believe somebody would actually suggest that? I don't know who it was, but they clearly don't have a clue. Friends is where we will begin today. May not finish all seven of those today, or eight of those today. Friends. Maybe. Yes, because I have to leave here in just a moment, so we'll see. Yeah, we've actually been going since, 15 till, kind of, and the introduction's just now finishing. Friends, here's a question that I never thought about, how crazy it is that we do things this way. Of course, as parents, we are huge. We're all over who our children associate with, who they become friends with, who they hang around, and all that kind of stuff. We go nuts about that, as well we should. And why do we do that? Because we know that their friends will influence so much, including how they think. Well, why is it that we think it's so important for us to make sure our kids have really good friends and completely ignore the fact that there's no point in a person's life where our friend's influence diminishes, where they no longer influence how we think, what we do, etc.? That never changes. We're so focused on our kids, but we fail to realize, you know what, that same exact principle is true for me too. And so who am I going to choose to be my friends? Because whoever it is will be someone who influences the way that I think. Look at some scripture here. There are so many passages. Proverbs 14:7 would be one for us today. Yeah, get your Bibles out, please. We'll have three verses, and all three of them are wonderful. Proverbs 14:7. And if somebody would read that one for us, please.
Stay away from a foolish man, and you will not find knowledge on
him. All right. Is that talking about friendship? Seems to be to me. Don't hang out with somebody who's a fool.
Sorry, he only said that to Noah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Don't hang around someone who is a fool. Because, Solomon says, you will not find them speaking wise things. All you're going to find coming out of their mouth is foolishness. And the problem is that if you're hanging around them, what they say will influence you. The next passage is kind of putting the foot on the other hand. Proverbs 13:20, just back a few verses. Proverbs 13:20. Wow. You know, not only is that passage great in itself, but doesn't it remind you of Proverbs 22:3? The prudent see danger and turn away, avoid it, but the naive go on and suffer for it. And this verse, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Who you hang out with matters, according to the wisest man who ever lived. The people you hang out with matter. And so if you want to be wise, if you want to have wise thoughts, then what are you going to do? You're going to find people who are wise to hang out with. If you want to become a fool, then find some fools to hang out with. And it'll happen. It's a principle, just the way it works. So for us as adults, we have to be careful with who we hang out with, Rose.
I'm just thinking as you're talking about that. So how can we then influence
the fool? That's what I was gonna say. You can't just avoid them.
Well, you ask a super important question that will really help us understand how to apply this that we're talking about with respect to friends. Okay? Now, first of all, my first answer to you about how do you influence a fool, according to Proverbs, you can't. Because you could take a stick and beat the crud out of them, Proverbs says, and it wouldn't help. And so the first immediate answer is don't even try because you're wasting your time, according to Proverbs. But that's not necessarily the final answer as far as applying this for us, right? Now, I was going to talk about kids for a second, but let's not. Let's talk about ourselves. What is the principle that we're talking about here? And let's look at another verse to help kind of set the stage for what my answer would be to your question. Turn to 2 Corinthians. This is a verse that you know. 2 Corinthians 6:14. This is a verse that I am memorizing with my girls because I need for them to make decisions that fall in line with this verse desperately. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Yes. I think so. Yeah, yeah, go, please, Anna Marie. Thank you. Don't be unequally bound, unequally yoked, is what the New American Standard uses and what the King James used. And so that's why some of us may have heard it oftentimes in the past. Don't be unequally yoked. Because what in common does righteousness have with unrighteousness? The answer, not a thing. What in common does light have with darkness? Not a thing. And so don't you be connected with someone who is not a believer. That's the bottom line to this. Don't be connected with someone who is not a believer. And this will set the stage for the answer. Anna Marie, you had a comment. That's absolutely right. So how do we reconcile the idea that if we hang around fools, we're going to become fools, that we should, in fact, hang around wise people? How do we reconcile that the scripture here tells us don't be unequally connected with someone who's lost? Because what in common do you have? And what will always happen is that the least common denominator wins. And so you've got a Christian, you've got a non-Christian. This person isn't going to if you're actually connected, this person is going to bring this one down much more than this person brings this one up. Just the way it works. So how do you handle this? And the answer is actually very simple. In all of our lives, we have people who are connected to us, and we have people who we're acquainted with. And so this is a matter of those concentric circles, right? For us, each one of us who are married, our closest connection with anybody on the planet must be our spouse. And it is absolutely the case that, you know, that someone who is not already married, that if one person's a Christian and they're considering marrying a lost person, that is absolutely unacceptable. Completely 100% unacceptable. Because that 2 Corinthians passage says, no, that would never work. So you can't do it. Now, there are people who find themselves in that situation later, and the scripture addresses that clearly. So it's, you know, but you have a choice. We're talking about things we have choices over, and what we have choices over are who we date, who we marry. And so while we're making those choices, we make the choice. I'm not going to be connected with someone that would be that close to me who is not a Christian. All right? So our spouse, our best, closest friends, we are connected to them. They are the people who influence the direction of our lives. And we must not be connected at that close friendship level with someone who is not a Christian, because the same exact principle applies. They will define, they will determine how we think. And if they're lost, they're going to drag us down. It's a fact. And there will be people that we hang out with a lot. And in most cases, those people also will, if we hang out with them, you know, once a week or a few times a month, then those people are people that we need to make sure are just Christians. But there comes a line then, which are our acquaintances. Those are people who don't really influence us, but we do have a relationship with them. We know them. We see them at the store, or at the gym, or at work, or wherever, at church. That wasn't a great example, was it? But we come across them, and those people are the people that Jesus hung out with. They weren't his friends. They didn't walk with him city to city where he ministered to them and taught them and all that. Those are the people he ate dinner with. And those were the people that he saw on the streets. there wasn't the close connection. This, the word that's used in that 2 Corinthians passage is literally the word that, you know, if they had oxen that were pulling a plow in the field, it's that wooden thing that holds both of their heads together. Where one goes, the other goes. If one slows down, this one slows down. And that's the picture of friendship and relationship, that is that if we have a relationship where we are tied together like that, that person absolutely is going to affect which direction we go and how fast we get there and our success even in what we do. And so if we don't choose someone who is like us in the most important ways, the most important one being our relationship with Christ, then it will absolutely impact us negatively. But there comes a point where outside of those closest relationships that we do have friendships where we have influence on someone, but not to the point where they are able to drag us down and influence us negatively. And it's a hard line to draw. It really is. And it's a hard line to draw if you like people. I'll put it that way. If you are someone who's outgoing and has lots and lots of friends and lots of acquaintances, then it'll be hard for you to find where that line needs to be. Now, for others of us, for me, my problem is even getting out to the point where I have people that I associate with at all. So for many of us, this is going to be a challenge, but we do have control over this. The point, though, is the influence that these people can have on our lives. Let me read a couple of quotes, and then what I'll want to do, I have some questions and the stuff that I want for us to talk about, but let me just read at least one of these. No, let me read this quote, and then I've got to speed away to the airport. All right, here's, last week I read a quote from Andy Andrews from his 7 Decisions for Success. He's a wonderful guy, strong believer, incredibly wise. Wow, incredibly wise. One of the wisest people I have ever come across. Andy Andrews. And the book is The Traveler's Gift. If you want to see these principles in action, and then the quote, the book is The Traveler's Gift. Or the video that it's kind of hard to get now these days that he did for a PBS special is the 7 Decisions for Success. And that video is fantastic. No, the video changed my life and has changed the lives of some of my coworkers. As it's actually a great gift to give to people because it's not overtly Christian, and yet it's absolutely Christian in principle. And that book, The Traveler's Gift, wowie. Here's what he says about this topic of friends. I will seek wisdom. I will choose my friends with care. I am who my friends are. I speak their language. I wear their clothes. I share their opinions and their habits. From this moment forward, I will choose to associate with people whose lives and lifestyles I admire. If I associate with chickens, I will learn to scratch at the ground and squabble over crumbs. If I associate with eagles, I will learn to soar great heights. I am an eagle. It is my destiny to fly. I will seek wisdom. I will listen to the counsel of wise men. The words of a wise man are like raindrops on dry ground. They are precious and quickly used for immediate results. Only the blade of grass that catches a raindrop will prosper and grow. The person who ignores wise counsel is like the blade of grass untouched by the rain, soon to wither and die. When I counsel with myself, I can only make decisions according to what I already know. By counseling with a wise man, I add his knowledge and experience to my own and dramatically increase my success. So I'll have to stop with that. Hopefully that will be some encouraging wisdom from Andy Andrews to help us know how to think and look at this topic of friendships. What we'll probably do next week, Lord willing, is pick up with this topic and then be ready to talk about further items on that list of things that we can choose to change, that we can change that affect our thoughts.